to me, the most important thing that you're saying and what Henry is teaching is that if we want a solution and seek God to speak and believe it's not too hard for God, then we will open ourselves to hearing God. If we don't, then we've lowered our expectations. And that's where we spend most of our Christian life. We lower our expectations because I'm not too sure he can speak to me about this situation. In fact, God, isn't this really too hard for you? It's being a little harsh, but it's almost the way we speak and talk to God and pray, and because we're saying, do I believe that about God? Don't miss this one thing that he said that it's huge. Moses only heard the first part of what he said, and then Moses started arguing with him. What resulted from that decision by Moses? Moses started arguing with God. God had the plan. Everything we've been talking about, God had. You realize this is the largest exodus in history of mankind, and God already had it in place. And first part of the sentence, second part of the sentence, Moses started arguing, and this is something I don't know that I've ever heard this preached on. What happened as a result of his unbelief, his crisis of belief? What happened when he did that? And then, can you get an idea? What happened to Moses' life?
Well, one thing, God ended up sending Aaron with him, who was his brother. And when Moses was called up on Mount Sinai to receive the law and the Ten Commandments, he came down, and there Aaron had led them to build and worship the golden calf. And I don't believe that event ever would have happened if Moses would have just, by faith, trusted the Lord and followed him. Now, he may have had Aaron as part of the team, but when Moses insisted that Aaron go because he was more eloquent in his speech, that whole event happened.
Okay, there's one pivot there that I don't know that I've ever heard anybody talking about. When he had his crisis of belief, Exodus 10:14 says God got angry.
Because he didn't realize God already had it covered. God already had it.
I got this. So this is what I'm talking about. If what Don is talking about, the results of his disbelief, the results of his crisis of belief, the results of him not hearing God, and believing all that God had spoken to him out of a bush, was not consumed. He had, I love the way he said it. Hey, he did it his way, and it caused him to wander around in the wilderness for 40 years. Anybody kind of resemble that situation? And so what happened is that God got angry with him. He said, okay, your brother is very articulate. I'll send him with you. He's going to be your spokesperson, but you still speak the word to him and then let him deliver it. Now, that seems to be okay, except what Don said is an example of the duality of leadership that resulted because of Moses' crisis of belief. The duality of leadership happened causing, and this is one example, here's Moses getting the Ten Commandments, Aaron down there listening to the people, Oh, I got to do something for them. He gets all of their gold and their jewelry and melts it and makes this calf. Let's worship this calf. That's a result of Moses. See, I almost started Moses. It's getting to me now. Of him. And don't miss that when it says God got angry.
Sometimes it doesn't look like what you think it will. On the other end of that conversation, I've had conversations with loved ones that have hurt me, where God told me, and I knew it was been telling me to go confront and just be honest and let them know. So that, what did he do? He did something in me. And it might be that the person doesn't, because the person in my case did not react how I wanted, did not apologize, actually said they did it for my help. It was to me, but don't you see this part? It just was something that didn't go anywhere that day. But I got to say, if you look at the whole picture back, stuff's been happening in the relationship and in me. And so the fear of whatever reaction your brother got, or the fear that Satan might be trying to bombard you with to keep you from falling through with that obedience to what you felt you heard God tell you to do, it's just Satan, I think, trying to get in front of it and just go back to God and say, you know, I want your peace, Lord.
Well, see, that's the funny thing, because that's part of our prayer. Right? I keep saying, I want God's peace. I want God's joy. And then listening to you is kind of like, I hear, because one thing I've heard me say in the time is, I keep hearing the verse, be still and know that I'm God. That keeps, has been coming around. So I'm thinking, that maybe I'm hearing you, it's like, God's got this. I know he's got it. I know he's got my back. Because so many times I felt like no one ever had my back. I said, God, I know you got my back.
Mm-hmm.
And watching that, it's like, you know, you see the situations in the Bible, and there are stories that when I read in the Bible that relate to some of the things that happen, you know, like,
mm-hmm.
And that's why a part of me is like, maybe I need to leave it to God and not confront her, because knowing, and not even try to, it's just having peace, you know, and that's what someone said. I can't have peace. I don't have peace in my life. And I keep bringing up God's peace. I want God's peace. I don't want to be angry or bitter or any of that anymore. But it's like, you know, that's why these verses I keep going back to. You know, and like hearing you is just, anyway. But.
Yeah. Well, we have a plaque in our home that we've had probably for 48 years. Life is hard by the yard, but by the inch, it's a cinch. And you know, where you're talking about extreme situations or whether you're talking about a daily issue. You know, hey, I'm obeying God. It shouldn't be that difficult. I'm doing all these things. Why is it not working? Why is God not talking to me?
Isn't that a question of belief?
Sure. Yep. And here's the issue, is that last week when we talked about God speaks, you have to say, what is the vehicle? And when I talked about the fire of the Holy Spirit, when you are filled with the Spirit and God has as a vehicle the ability to talk through the Holy Spirit, then yes, he can speak more often. And the other statement that he made that we could just quit right here and not do anymore, just remember, when God speaks, what you do next is your decision.
Reveals what you believe.
Yeah.
Can I read the thing I underlined that I thought was pretty helpful? When God invites you to join him in his work, he has a God says his own for you, you'll realize that you cannot do it on your own. If God doesn't help you, you'll fail. This is the crisis point where many decide not to follow what they say God's leading them to do. Then they wonder why they do not experience God's presence and activity the way other Christians do. I think that's powerful, and I don't
powerful.
That. Oh.
Powerful. Powerful. It's, yep. If we go through this and just literally pray as we go, the answers are there. And every one of us, I don't care what your situation is, one of the biggest problems where there's relationships with family, where there's relationships in the church, one of the biggest problems is that, yeah, I believe, but you don't understand my situation, God. I believe, but by the way, I'm not a good caregiver. But I'm going to have you take care of this situation. Then the other one is a big thing, and in this particular chapter, hopefully you saw, fear of the unknown is the biggest detriment to hearing God's voice. Fear of what is going to happen, the results. The Holy Spirit helps us see things as God sees them. Therefore, fear is no excuse to disobey God. But we're filled with it. I love the situation in one of the days that we had here in John 21:20. Here's where Jesus and Peter, they had just had this big episode, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." This, what an intimate time. Now, one more time, God could have had that kind of visitation with you, that personal. Well, who do people think? Well, "Thou art the Christ." I mean, that was huge. I don't know if you realize how big that was. But then there's what is the first thing you do after God has had that kind of intimate relationship and spoke to you? What did Peter do? Somebody tell me. What did he do? John 21:20, 21. In that whole chapter?
Are you talking about the fish? Where you
went? No. This is where Peter looks around and says, "Now what about John? What about John?" Now listen to this. This is huge. He didn't even really hear Jesus. He didn't understand the power of what had just happened. He's then comparing his assignment to John's. Oh, there was this little phrase that said, "John, whom Jesus loved." You know Peter's personality.
Oh, yeah.
And so here we are, even though these are two different personalities, Peter and John are to walk two different paths. They are to listen to God and walk and fulfill what he had each of them to say. But what does Peter do? After this powerful conversation, Peter deflected it and wanted to compare his assignment to John's.
I like what Christ said to him in John 21:22. "If I will that he remain till I come," that is, "come again." What is that to you?
Yeah, there you go. What is that to you?
Follow me.
That's great.
That's powerful.
Now here's the bottom line. I tried to find this, and honest to goodness, I get so full of music that we had this great music years and years ago, and I can't find it anywhere. It's the music to Romans 8:38-39. "I am persuaded that neither life nor death, nor principalities nor powers, nothing shall separate me from the love of God." That's where we are. And if you base your view of God's love on circumstances, you will be confused. "But nothing can separate me from the love of God. I am persuaded." Go back and just, the old preacher said, put it in your pipe and smoke it. Romans 8:38-39. "I am persuaded nothing shall separate." No family conflict, no work conflict, no church conflict, no children conflict. "Nothing shall separate me from the love of God."
That's a pipeline.
Yeah, that's good. Are you in a crisis? Anybody have another crisis? Hold to God's unchanging hand. Hold to God's unchanging hand. And I don't care where you are, back to Peter and John. Hey, what about him? Don't compare. What is your assignment? That is all you're responsible for. Again, I live on music. And we had one of the greatest songs ever been done. Little is much. In the harvest field now ripened, there's work for me to do. And hark, the master's calling to the harvest, calling you. Does the place you're called to labor seem too small and little known? It's great if God is in it, and he'll not forget his own. Little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown, and you can win it if you go in Jesus' name.
That was Lester Roloff's song.
Yeah.
And he couldn't sing worth it.
Oh, it's horrible. No. Little is much. If you want to just find somebody, Google it and listen to that. It's a powerful song. I don't care where you are, what your problem is, what your disbelief is, what it, you can say, okay, this is where I am. All right. But God.
Yeah, there's no stipulations in his world.
Yeah. And God, let me tell you how to do this since you aren't really capable.
But I really don't want to go there.
All right. Anything anybody else wants to say about here we are at the end of 6 weeks and we have covered 12 weeks in 6 weeks? Yes, sir, Jeff.
No.
Yeah, you and I are from the same similar background, and I can assure you this was not around. And right. But tonight I got here a little early, and I was talking to one of the other coaches for the life group, the life groups, and he was in a key position at Saddleback Church, Rick Warren, and so they had used Experiencing God in Saddleback. If you know that church, Rick Warren wrote the Purpose Driven Life, and Purpose Driven Life, in all Christian or secular. There's never been anything that has sold as many as that has in the period of time. It sold 35 million within 1 year. And there's never been a publication because it was God's word for a time. And it's interesting to go back behind the scenes and see what made that. What made that pastor and that preacher and those people, and how did they get there? And that's what he and I were talking about. And he was talking about having gone through Experiencing God at Saddleback when he was back there. And I said, well, that's because Rick Warren wasn't threatened by this deeper life message.
And he went through this before the book?
Before. Definitely before.
Yeah.
And
so when was
this was published.
When was Blackaby burdening all this?
This started in the early 90s. His teaching started in the early 90s. And
it was his personal devotion that evolved.
Well, his, not devotion, this is personal ministry life. He became a pastor in Western Canada. And he had to depend on God. And God began to teach him lessons. And he came back and started teaching it in areas. And it became a normative Christian life to him. It was Blackaby's. He thought everybody was doing it. He thought everybody had these beliefs, and had believed like this. He thought everybody was doing it. And if you weren't there the night, the where it exploded was through the Texas Baptist Men's. Okay, that's where it exploded. It wasn't even known well until that happened. But at that time, when they tried to get him to publish it, he says, "Why would you publish this? This is just normal Christian life. Nobody wants to buy this." But here's the big deal, Jeff, is that working with all these different denominations, that is what has been so powerful, is that this has bridged every every barrier. This has jumped in every, it's just truth. It's truth, but it's revealed, and the sad thing is that I told you that night that I told you about that. Purpose-driven life and experiencing God are the two greatest movements of the last 20 years in the church. Those are the two greatest movements. And were some of y'all here when this church went through purpose-driven life? You did 40 days of purpose. That was one of the things this church did. And this would have been bigger than life, greater. But what Mies told Pastor Steve is what kept it from getting even bigger, is that the bottleneck was pastors. The bottleneck were pastors. Number one, this challenged their crisis of belief. This challenged them, and they couldn't grab it. They couldn't. It was something that they couldn't take. And so what ended up happening, it like we're doing here, it ended up beginning to spread and permeate small groups. And that's what exploded it, is that the lay people began to say, I don't have to. It's back to the example of the Catholic Church. You know, what happened, incidentally, that's interesting to me to watch Notre Dame with those people walking out on Pence this week at graduation. I had worked with a group at Notre Dame in the 70s, and that's where the major Catholic renewal movement came from, where the Catholics started reading the Bible, where they actually started praying, when they began to seek what we're talking about here. There were Catholics that experienced that, and Notre Dame is where it exploded. That was the place it exploded. Now you have the head of the divinity school at Notre Dame that totally dispels the Bible. So now you see the results. I'm sorry, that's an aside. But it's sad. It's sad. And then I see something like that, and I said, of all things. But really, that's when we see, when we study this, when God is working, Satan says, hey, I got to bring in some more demons. I got to bring in some more legions. I've got to bring in some more people. I've got to get some help here. Now, what if the pastors aren't leading against that? Guess what happens? So, y'all pray as this goes to the next step. I'm meeting week after next to see. We're going planning to teach this again in the fall, but there is several desires that it rise up above, that experiencing God will permeate a wider birth of Grace Chapel. And
you're not continuing where we left off. You're going to be
It'll be from the, instead of doing 12 weeks and 6 weeks, I'll do it all. Yes, sir.
Take this as a compliment. I mean, it's, I think really doing it in the 6 weeks was really not the proper way to do it.
No.
There's so much here and so much meat that they shouldn't even have even thought about doing it. For them to even think that they could try to do this in 6 weeks is so wrong.
Yeah.
And they need to, even 12 weeks, to allow discussion, like even what happened here today.
Right.
We weren't rabbit trailing, by the way. There's
no.
There's a difference between what happened here today and rabbit trailing.
Good word. Good word.
Even 12 weeks to me would not be enough. And whether they have 12 weeks to get through whatever so that the instructor like yourself or whoever has time to actually really work with the people. But I think what they need to do, and this is my only word, is instead of worrying about quantity, they need to worry more about the quality.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, this is amazing what I've seen here. And it did it so much less than what it could have been. And it's not your fault. It's the
wonder if they would consider when you start it again, having you do, if they only have so many weeks allotted, having you do a proper amount of chapters or units, whatever, and taking the break and then resuming with the next chapter where it like steps 1, 2, and 3 kind of has a progression.
You might remember I told you that Myron said he did it church wide and took a whole year. And so what they did, when you go through this workbook and there's one thing for each day, that was 1 week for them. They did each day was 1 week
yeah.
for them.
Yeah,
and you ought to be in my position. It's the hardest thing in the world. This, I have never done this, and this has been frustrating as all get out. But
well, I mean, we can each go back and on our own.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Obviously, go through it slower, but it's just, it's valuable. When you're
and one of the things that I mentioned to you, the reason I had him get in the Experience of God Day by Day as a devotion, is to help you take a bite at a time throughout the year. Because what it does, he's put that into a daily devotion, let you read that, chew on that for a whole year. It's a year's devotion.
Do they have it in?
Yeah, you have it here.
I can attest to something. When you do it again in the fall, it will be new.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's fresh, what he does, and he prays and studies and studies and studies, and you will hear some of the same. Obviously, you've got to follow the track, but there will be so much new that you won't know that it's a repeat.
So can we sign up now? Make sure that we get in.
We have first
dibs. Y'all be grandfathered in.
It was almost a bummer because there's so much grand.
I'm like, I can't wait till.
It was frustrating.
In our case, we've been so busy.
So frustrating, yeah.
I knew I wasn't going to get it done.
Yeah. Whetted your appetite.
I think
that's if the real truth is no way as a group we can do everything God wants to download to you, and so all you can do is whet your appetite. Yeah. One of the how many. Are any of y'all in life groups? In life groups, yeah. So that's one of the things that that Jimmy is talking about. Maybe we need to do that. He's talking about doing a campaign and doing it across all the life groups.
That would be cool.
And so
take a year.
It'd take a long time.
Yeah, he did that years
ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we did that.
It was pretty cool.
Okay. Yeah.
But we did it
actually,
for
right.
A year.
Right. Okay. Well, y'all pray. I mean, this is one of those things that ask God. By the way, that's what we've been studying. You know, we might want God to speak into this instead of the way I want it. I might want God to speak into it. And how is the best way to do it? I have done this with churches where I help them organize it as a church-wide campaign. And so what we do is that we give the pastor, like Steve does a series, he does a series on experiencing God. And then what we do is we not only do his series as a sermon series, but then we'll also have music that directly ties into it. So it helps even for the music to help to take it home. Wait a minute.
They don't have to run out of seminary,
though. Oh, gotcha.
Well, we prime the pump.
Yeah, prime the pump. Yes.
It starts September
6th, I think, or whatever that Wednesday is.
So can we get pass around the sign-up sheet for that class right now?
I'll email it to you. No, I'll I'll email it to you. It's I thought I had it on here. Yeah, 6th. Starts on the 6th, September 6th. There you go. Yeah, he's the man. He's the man, all right.
When is the next session?
Huh?
September 6th.
September 6th, yeah.
So the summer's off.
Yeah, right. September 6th. So really sincerely pray about it, because this is a message based on what Jan says. I say this carefully. I basically have, and Henry and his office know me well, and so they are okay with what I'm getting ready to tell you, okay? I had to qualify this. Because when I teach this, the way I teach it and some of the emphasis I put would never fly inside of the publisher. They would not do it that way, okay? The way I describe it, I'm putting a Grace Chapel spin on it. And that literally is kind of the best way I know to say it and be safe. More experiential, more Holy Spirit driven, more which is relational, which that's it, Chris. Well, here's the reason this I am literally going to be meeting with one of the people. If you look on the book, Claude King is on this book. I am. Hello there. I'm going to be meeting with Claude King and telling him what we're doing here. Now he's the publisher. He was the one who put all of this workbook, all those pieces together, and I love it. I love it. But that's tactfully, since I'm being recorded, that's the best way I can explain it. I'm putting a Grace Chapel spin on it, and that's hopefully that's good for. But here's the thing, based on what you just said, Chris. The reason this is so doable in Grace Chapel is that Grace Chapel is experiential and relational. The culture is very adapted to it. I could name a church in the Nashville area that I attempted to do this with. They weren't relational. They were cliquey. They were, you know, if God spoke, he'd have to, you know. Oh, you know. But anyway, I'm sorry I took up all that time, but. Somebody dismiss us in prayer. Thank you all for being here and putting up with my frustration.
Father in heaven, we thank you and praise you for this wonderful study. And Lord, we thank you that you are concerned about every detail of our life. And we thank you, Lord, for the group of people in this room. What a blessing they've been.
Amen.
They've shared. And Lord, we thank you for this wonderful study that you gave Henry Black.
Amen. Yes.
Lord, we pray that as we go further into it next September, that you would guide and bless in a mighty way. We thank you that you're all powerful, Lord, that you're almighty, that you're all-knowing, and that you're all-present. And Lord, we thank you for Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in all things, through prayer and supplication, let our requests be made known unto you. And the peace of God that passes all understanding will keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And Lord, as I went through the material that we covered, you kept bringing these verses to my mind. And Lord, we just pray that we would walk in your ways, in your power. Give us victory over the enemy and his forces. Meet our needs, Lord,
Jesus' name,
according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus.
Jesus' name.
We ask this in your glorious name. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Blessings.
See you in September.
All right.
Thank you, George, for doing the job.
September.
Thank you for the job you did here.
Oh, thank you, sir. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, George. Yeah. It was...
Claude, forgive me for what I do.
Well, thanks for your prayer last week. Lord bless the mighty ones. And we'll see what lies ahead.
Amen.
He's gracious and he's great.
Well, there are certain times, the prayers we had this week, the prayer list, prayer requests that went out, God, there was something that happened to me.
Yeah.
It wasn't just the one we were praying for. There was something spectacular that happened to many people.
Well,
and that's the way it was last week. I felt just a holy unction, a faith that came from you and your request, and right now, God, it's almost like sometimes
I do. I get out on the floor.
I'm in.
That's it. Exactly it. You're right.
Well, you want to know exactly.
It is like that. If you end up for 60.
You know, what I was going to say,
maybe
that's why I had such a good story.
Yes, sir.
I'm worried about it.
If he doesn't come through, let me know.
I got other guys. He's more residential oriented. I don't do that much residential stuff.
I'm just worried he's not going to do well.
No, thank you.
He's a tough guy.
Man, appreciate you, brother. It's good to have somebody kind of understands each other now and then. You know, oh, yeah.
We
My father was a minister of God, a minister in Mississippi.
That's what I grew up in.
See, the thing that's so interesting is that I've worked with the Son of God.
We used to work out there.
Projects were
up in Springfield,
Missouri. And so this is one of the few real relevant Bible studies that has ever been used by Son of God.
Really?
I mean, that's unheard of. Hey, he's not one of us. They changed a lot. Henry was doing a major citywide event in Ohio. Up there, there aren't many Southern Baptists in this particular area. And so he was talking to me and trying to get my help. And there are a lot of Assemblies of God churches in that time. And so this ended up being primarily a citywide experiencing God with mostly Assemblies of God. But I have done, like, the Tennessee Assemblies of God District. I've done seminars for them, for the district, and things like that. So,
cool.
Well, Jeff.
Yes, sir.
It's been real.
It's been fun.
Real fun.
It was unbelievable.
No, we've already talked about this. We want the 12 weeks.
We want the full load.
Yeah, because that way you can absorb and
I'm spending 30 and 45 minutes and an hour on that one day. Each day. That means you've done it already.
I'll find you. Well, I mean, that's probably what
whatever it takes.
Whatever it takes. Well, I have an Italian middle name, Linda Diogardi Flesh Hour.
Oh, very cool.
There's only one.
You haven't accepted me yet.
Did you get it right?
Did you?
I think so.
What kind of is that?
Yeah, that don't mean anything. I don't know if you're on there, but
he has a problem. He's
She has so many different connections.
I would not do social media, yeah, I do more.
I don't want more.
First of all, getting more involved with social media.
And then I do write about.
We're gonna do all four.
Yeah, and that's good.
Right now, I'm like, he's covering the kids, video.
Oh, yeah.
He's kinda like blue blood.
No, I can understand, I can wrap my brain around things.
I don't either. I don't get it, and my family's like, what the neighbor comes here and sees your dog.
As long as they're gonna be straight up with it, we can't afford to.
I don't know, here, well, I didn't pay for this, her grandmother and dad's side, they both come on.
We're gonna do it like Lloyd was.
I didn't want her to go, but I'm like.
We're gonna do it for, I mean, we're gonna do it, we'll bid in and do it exactly the way it's drawn, yeah.
For home, our son, backpack, here, when he got.
All that other guy would know what it is, it's basically the market's other partner.
No, just.
Yeah.
Yeah, listen, he gives.
For a year, and stayed in homeschool.
No, 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 see, if I was young, I would have done that, I would have done that. You know, did you have that, did you have that experience, right? I mean, did you have that kind of experience?
I saw it in my plan, and I realized Corey talking about it a long time last year.
But what ended up happening, he was getting ready to graduate college, and gave the role, and says, I have been totally, I have worked so hard at school, I've had jobs, I've worked, and I'm about to jump over the edge. Me and my buddy, we're going to go and see the world. And I said, yeah, I'm glad you tried it out on me first, so I could warm up.
She's gonna have a stroke.
Yeah.
Maybe.
So how far did he travel? I mean, literally just Europe or?
He went all, just stayed all over Europe. You have one of those train going through the door, said one time, so tired of all their food, I said, we won't eat.
Oh, funny.
Appreciate you, Hans.
Looking forward to the next time.
Back then.
All right.
Pray,
because I think God has something here for us to try to.
Yes, we did. Yeah, I knew that.
I did the analysis. I'm a musician. I know the letter. I don't do not.
That's what we want. That's what you hit exactly what we want. We want people to grab it and say, I got to reproduce it.
I
grab it and reproduce it. All right.
Well, as long as you give me your notes, I'll be okay.
talking